While I was sitting around, you know, playing on Twitter or X right now, I managed to get myself called a racist again, TK. And it's
just
kind
to
of
confirm,
funny.
Confirm, no, you aren't a racist. Just so everybody is, you know.
Well,
well
according
aware.
To
I've known you long enough to know who's a racist and who's not a racist, and you,
I
my friend, are not a
that.
Racist.
I don't believe that I am, but I do kind of speak the truth sometimes, and sometimes for some reason people spin that into racism, which is just funny. Like,
well, you
now,
just can't mention race. That's the problem. You can't.
I didn't
say
even say
anything
about
a race whatsoever, unless it's like, you know, Canadian. You know, if you're making fun of Canadians, then everyone's just like, yeah, those Canadians, they're silly. But yeah, you can't bring up
they're
race.
Silly.
Come on, learn your lessons.
Well,
stay out of the
that's the funny
stay
thing.
Stay out of the weeds.
I'm trying to find the tweet again, but like, it really had absolutely nothing to do with race. It's actually insane. But of course, I can't find the tweet because
that's okay.
I just
we don't
can't
need to
find
hear
the tweet.
The details.
But
basically,
but
we believe you.
I said
that you're not a racist. Don't worry.
We should send all of the immigrants back home that came to Canada in the last 4 years and just kind of reset things and think things through and maybe recreate the policy and give us all a second chance. Because
yeah,
this
definitely
place
something
is a
racist
mess.
Would say.
Right, definitely something a racist would say, but it wasn't directed at any
I know
particular
it's not
race,
but it's something
right?
That a racist person would say. That's why they're throwing you under the bus here
for sure. But what's yeah. funny, and what's always funny, I guess it's funnier the more often I get called a racist, but like yeah. it's always a faceless, nameless person that has nothing to lose and nothing to gain other than making me look like a guy trying to defend
notoriety
being a racist,
they got everything
right?
to gain.
I don't know that you get notoriety
guys,
by calling me a racist.
Guy's the man. Right? He's out there fighting the man.
What a joke, man. This fucking Twitter. I don't know why I'm still on it.
I
But anyways, TK.
I can tell you one thing. I'm not on TikTok and I'm not on Twitter. I have an account. I did 2 weeks time. And in those 2 weeks, I learned my lesson very quickly that I got better things to do.
Better things
but
to do.
People are out there. They're loving it. They're enjoying it. I don't like to scroll on the videos too often. I know I get caught up in it sometimes. And honestly, to date, I've never, ever actually come out of it saying, wow, that was really, you know, time well spent, you know?
Sure.
So but, those are the type of things that you really got to avoid.
But imagine actually having good immigration policy and actually being able to, you know, attract good talent and keep good talent instead of just sucking in a bunch of kids and screwing them over and screwing up the fabric of society.
So
and...
I'm going to give a shout out to my friend.
Hmm.
I can't remember his name, but he drove
Close
me home
friend.
from
That's
the
good.
dealership the other day as an Uber driver.
Ah.
Now, he'd been here for a year. He was in school studying. He's about 30 years old, you know, so he's coming out of
In school
you know, life
studying
from India.
30.
And
Yeah.
now he's in school again, you know, for whatever his walk of life was.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a positive attitude. And he told me,
positive
he says, you know, he's
attitude.
Not sure 100% what he wants to do, but he does like living life in Canada. And he was listening to a lot of spiritual stuff in the car before I got
Oh,
in the car.
That's
And
nice.
So he was getting right into some really heavy things with me. And he was just
Oh, boy.
He was a very just like spiritual, like, you know, down to earth guy. And him and I were having a good conversation. And he said it
Spiritual
very
Uber
clearly.
driver.
He was a spiritual Uber driver.
Uber
And said
drivers.
it
Those
very
guys get it
clearly.
done, man. Yeah.
He said it very clearly. And and this is very obvious. You are in the environment that you create for yourself. Okay. He didn't actually say that, but I just verbatim, like tried
yeah,
to,
okay.
you know, not verbatim, just sort of, you know, make it so that it sounds good.
Paraphrase.
But, paraphrase. Thank you. I'm paraphrasing what he's saying. You make the environment. Your environment's only as good as you create around you.
This is a horrible job, by the way,
horrible.
Of paraphrasing.
It's
just
horrible.
So you know. Yeah, it's horrible.
And he said, look, he says, there's people right now who are new in this country and they're miserable for X, Y, Z reasons. There's people who are born here for the same reason. And there's going to be a lot of people who are, you know, living the best life they possibly can because they're able to look at their situation as the half glass full type of mindset. And so for anybody right now, in my mind, and I've said this many times before, who's complaining about living in Canada, like, unfortunately, the complaints on Twitter aren't going to change anything around you. So you need to find a way to build an environment around yourself in order for you to be happy. It might mean leaving the country. Good for you.
Do
go
what
and
you
figure
gotta
that out.
do.
But if you bring the same mindset with you from Canada to that other country, I promise the next country is going to suck the same way.
Yeah, you're coming with it. But hold on a second. That's not totally true. There's lots of people that shed the Toronto big city dream and go to wherever the fuck, and they pay, you know, $500 a month for rent, and they go pay $2 for eggs and bacon and pancakes, and
yeah, you know, did you see that on a social media a media account, and what kind of course were
they selling? that guy doesn't make what any kind of course? Money by teaching you how to do the what? Same thing.
Yeah, what kind of course were they selling, Daryl? Come on.
No, but the truth is, if you know anything, I mean, like, if you go to other countries, it is very different, and the cost of living is very
give
different.
Give me an example of somebody you know who left Toronto, moved to another country, and he's sitting there going, man, life is so good here right now, and I got all of my ducks in order in my life.
Well, come on, that's not fair. But listen, the guy has a business here in Toronto still. He has property here in Toronto still. He has property over there in Mexico. He's been gone since they announced that they were going to shut down air travel during the, you know, the big pandemic. And so he is actually one of the stories that saw the grass is greener on the other side. Now, is he still Vitaly in Mexico? Of course he is, right?
Yeah.
But life is different, and life is slower, and maybe it's not easier because you're still you, but like, it's like saying that money doesn't bring happiness. It's a bunch of bullshit, right? People that don't have money are the only people that think it doesn't bring happiness, right? TK, very important for everybody out there to subscribe to this channel, because we are the fastest growing number one podcast in all of Canadian history.
On Sundays at 10.
10 now.
We're the only one at 10. But probably. Also, check out Apple Podcasts and the other podcast platforms like Spotify and maybe Google Podcasts. I'm not really sure. There's podcasts everywhere. But go onto those ones, look up Canadian Real Estate Show, and give us a review. We're trying to spread the word, guys. Come on. We need your help.
Help a brother out. And on top of it, if you really want to be cool, then come check out our Instagram, because that's the coolest thing on earth right now. Having money allows you more opportunities for said happiness. Now, is that shallow? Is
my spiritual Uber driver told me, that money does not bring happiness.
Well,
you
got to
be happy within
right.
yourself. Success is not having what you want. It's wanting what you have. If you believe that money brings you happiness, there will never be enough money in the world to make you happy. You will always
saying
want
it's
more.
The only thing that brings
but you'll
you
always
happiness.
Want more. But no, money is not what makes you happy. I'm telling
money
you.
Money is what makes
you need
most
to want what you already
people
have. Yes, it's a tool to be able to experience the life that you see best
that
for yourself.
Uber driver
and your family.
Doesn't want what he currently has, and he's not sitting there going, "I'm so grateful that I'm an Uber driver." Like, he has an aspiration. He's trying
he's
to get somewhere,
he's
right?
Happy.
He's also 30 and a student from out of town. Like, good fucking luck to you in this.
But he's not married, and his parents, when he goes back to India, are going to force him to get married. So he's
that's
living
even
the good
worse
life
now.
Right now. He's living the single life.
Well, so hold on a sec. So, okay. So not being married brings me to this new OSFI rules situation, because you want to talk about that? You know what's going on with the new OSFI rules, and they're not allowing people to mortgage more than 4.5 times their income.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So OSFI comes out and they say, we're going to limit people to only 4.5 times income, right? Because that's the responsible thing to do. And so what happens is, I think it affects single people that only have one income. It really limits their opportunities for buying things if they can only get a mortgage based on their income, right? So, I mean, what else should it be based on? I mean,
But like, if you've been following the interest rates and the qualifying rate, like, we're not really too far away from that. I think what they're doing is they're setting the stage for in the future when rates are lower to not be based on a stress test, because, you know, they figured, okay, well, now refinancing and all this stuff comes with issues.
That didn't
but
work.
A X factor on your income would be more manageable, right? So anyways, keep going.
But you're stuck. Okay, so somebody that's a single income earner that wants to go live on their own and buy a place, like, they're limited to 4.5 times their income. So let's just say you have what TK thinks is an average salary of what, 60 grand a year, TK? Is that what the average guy makes right now? No,
and
you
by,
thought
and
it was
by,
150,000.
By the way, it's not limiting at 4.5 times. I'm sorry, I have to pull this up here. Make sure we're fact checking you, Daryl.
It's not?
It's a cap on the number of mortgages a bank can lend that are larger than 4.5 times.
Yes.
Yes.
This is true.
Yeah. So which makes sense?
A cap on, which makes sense.
A cap on how many mortgages you get. This is the next question that we should ask, though, is how many houses should one individual really own?
That's a great question. And right. I've answered it before. And I said, and most people think I'm an idiot for saying this and other things, of course, but normal people shouldn't own multiple houses. Okay. You should have a license. A license to own multiple houses and run it as a business. And actually, I don't even think, unless it's a subdivision, all built to be rentals by one person who will run it as a business, fine. Houses can be rented. And I know that that's segregation and all kinds of people are going to have a problem with that. But the thing is the problem in the rental market is most of the landlords that are professionals and like businesses are not having the same problems with their tenants as people that, you know, own 3 houses and don't really know what they're doing and don't manage
or just
them
bought
properly.
It. Go online right now and type in triplex on your House Sigma or anywhere you are in Canada right now. There are so many people selling properties right now that are multi-family. Maybe they're 2, 3, 4 residential properties. Maybe some of the larger ones, although most likely those guys were bought by professional investors. So those guys seem to be okay. But because commercial rates too, a lot of them are fixed. And so there's more stability there, long-term rates. But a lot of these guys are like, oh, I'm going to go and buy a triplex. I saw it on social media and I'm going to have my tenant pay down the mortgage and this is going to be great. And your tenants,
3 doors.
Your tenants are calling you because, maybe you were able to get market rent. So now, you know what kind of problems market rent tenants give you? The worst tenant you can have is a Canadian-born market rent tenant.
Who knows the rules of the landlord-tenant board, right?
This TikTok guy will run you ragged. Oh, yeah. He will say, what do you mean? Listen, those guys were here to shovel the snow at 7 a.m. Like, listen, I want my driveway cleared in the morning so I can get out, but I don't want to hear them shoveling outside the window of my basement.
Can they use regular plastic shovels and do it by
hand?
Seriously,
they got
the
blade on the bottom of the metal shovel. Like, this is scraping the ground, you know? Like, I'm getting woken up an hour early. I've got night shift.
Yeah, and I hear this dripping in the middle of the night all the time. And it might be because I don't completely turn off the tap 100%, but I think you should send a plumber.
The furnace fan is way too loud. You need to get that checked out. Like when that thing turns on, I feel like it's a 747 engine or something that's about to blast through the wall.
It's not high efficiency.
We need to work this
out.
It's
not high efficiency.
You know, so this is what people don't understand. So they're putting on their properties that are triplexes and fourplexes right now, like en masse. I'm telling you, I'm watching every week. I'm following that market. I'm just like, whoa, here's another one. And there's a ton of people now who are just saying to themselves, what did I get myself into? Right now, variable rate holders, maybe renewals, those type of things. They're in for a big surprise as far as the financial side goes, but it's also on the tenancy side, right? There's a lot of issues out there right now in the tenancy. I had the fortune. Good.
This
fortune.
Is on top of like not having numbers that work, like just shitty.
Exactly.
Tenants, so
you're losing
top,
$1,000
right?
bucks a month or more, depending on the situation. You'd be losing $5,000 a month, like the one I just sold in Mississauga. But you also have these headaches that you weren't expecting. So I'm on the train, right? I'm talking to somebody. I'm giving them advice on. They have a shared. They rent out a room in their house, so they share the kitchen with somebody. And they said, this person's causing problems. I said, well, the landlord-tenant board doesn't apply. There's no Residential Tenancies Act. There's a shared kitchen. Here's how to handle it. And this lady kind of like jumped in. And at first I was like, yo, like mind your business here. Like, come on, we're having a private conversation on a train packed full of people. Like, come on, you know? And so then my friend got off the train and I had to go 2 more stops. And I was like, I just turned over to her. I said, are you a paralegal? Right. And she's like, yeah, I am. And she works for TCHC, Toronto Community Housing Corporation. So like the worst job to be a paralegal for. Like you're dealing with
paralegal.
People who are just like, no, like she's obviously got to be a little bit compassionate because you're dealing with a lot of mental health problems there. You're not dealing with people who know the laws. You're talking with people who are like, you know, down on her luck on the walls. And have got, you know, mental health issues and all that stuff. And she's telling me about years of courts proceedings. Like she'll go to years where they're calling in witnesses, cats, all these type of things. So I got a big conversation
everywhere
with her to talk to her. But she did tell me one thing that's evident to her, and I trust her because she's obviously like in the know, is that they have hired more adjudicators and that there is more people more staff who are able to do the work. That
it's
being
a fucking
said,
line up of 50,000 cases.
You know, she says it's getting better and that it's shortening. So it's not something that I know what Foch posted the other day about a lineup. That was actually old data. If you look in the bottom, it said it was like 2023. So you got to look at, well, what are we doing now in the first 3 months? We don't have that data yet.
You think it got better?
Good clickbait for his content. Now,
sure.
She said that there are more people, but the issue is now these adjudicators are inexperienced.
Oh my God. This is like planning. Yeah, everything is inexperienced because all the experienced people.
The staff has come in, but they did what they say they're going to do. But now it's just like the people don't know how to handle the caseload because it's a stressful caseload. So bottom line is when you got a tenant issue, you're screwed.
That's what we're talking about? Yeah. And this is the thing. So if you start off with a pro forma that over time and appreciation when you buy it over the long haul makes money in year 12 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And you're losing money every month until that golden special day.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, like you put in a 2% vacancy, right? As just like the default. Listen, or whatever
it's been,
the hell
it's been
you
rented
put.
Every month that I ever owned it. I mean,
this is the best market in the world.
Just, being conservative.
No one has a line for having a tenant and them not paying for a year. Yeah. Or a year
well,
and a half.
That's what vacancy should be, but it's not ever 2% because a year and a half, a year is 100%.
It's 150% you have to put into the thing. So like who's going to sell that unit to somebody?
Vacancy,
so that 100%. Line doesn't get down there. But now some investors are smart enough to go, holy shit. Like, why am I doing this in Ontario? I have a property management company in place that's managing the thing. I have a realtor that brings me the deals. I have the financing in place. Why am I doing this in this place that's so unfriendly to investors, right? But then you also see like that like BlackRock is coming in and they're just going to buy everything, right?
They like the appreciation. So that's the other factor, right? Is they're not all about cash flow. So that's the one, I think, caveat here is, you know, they're
is
expecting.
Is that a real investor?
No, but that's what they're banking on.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And then the next part is they want to touch it and feel it. They want to be able to, you know, drive by it and stuff like that too, which is a hurdle. Once you get over that hurdle and you don't need and you don't care and you can be an out of town investor. Look at Art Dadson from New Brunswick. Like literally has a huge business, like top like New Brunswick realtor. All of his customers and clients are from Ontario mostly. Right. And they don't even see the properties and he takes care of everything. He is just like a turnkey.
He's a dime a dozen though.
And that like, guy, but that guy is like, no, that guy is doing something like big.
Yeah. He's a dime a dozen. Like there's no one else like him. Right. He stands out.
Dime a dozen meant like everybody's like him. Isn't that the opposite meaning of what you're trying to say?
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, anyways,
so what you're trying to say,
the guy's really fucking good at what
he's
does,
a needle in a haystack.
He's a needle in a haystack.
Is that a good expression? Our analogies suck today.
Well, that one was better. But I mean, if I was right, it was good. If I was wrong, it was horrible. But I'm thinking I was right, but I always think I'm right. And then I'm
like
a racist.
10 out of 12, a dime a dozen. Don't be a racist.
So hold on a sec. Did we talk about the OSFI thing and its impact, or did we just get right on over to what you wanted to talk about? Are you good with that?
As usual.
Went
over what I wanted.
Right? I got
to
a
talk
list
about.
Of shit here. What about the carbon tax? How are you feeling about that? Because it seems to be a big topic everywhere. Carbon tax, carbon tax, carbon tax. Yeah, everybody's got their bills. Nobody's fooled by the transparency, which may not have been the best idea in the world. I think I'd rather just have a bill with a number on it. Even if the line item is, we're fucking you hard, $184. Okay, thank you. But now I see, right? Now I see that the charge for what I want or need to live, okay? TK, this is not even something I want. I don't give a shit if I have natural gas in my house or if I'm burning wood or if I'm riding a bike. That would be the smartest thing, is to hook up a bike to the goddamn generator for a house and work off some of this fat. But anyways, okay, what am I talking about?
Not sure. But the carbon tax.
What the hell? The carbon tax.
What you're trying to talk about is the cost that everybody has to pay. I mean,
it's crazy. And on top of that, they're raising it already. Like, didn't this thing just come in and everybody's freaking out about it, and now they're raising it in like a week?
Yeah. Well, so I think the carbon tax issue is something that is a big political thing. And I think that that's going to be what decides the government for next year. I think that right
why
now.
You think?
Go ahead.
You think Trudeau's going to like say, okay, forget it, like vote for me now?
I'm not sure, but I'm just saying that those type of things become political tools, right? Because at the end of the day, the whole thing, like when they're disguising climate change, you know, they're saying, oh, we're going to reduce so many emissions by 2030 and all that stuff. Like, I don't know who really believes that, you know, they're giving us the right information and that it is actually going to be, you know, creating a better environment. I mean, do I want to save the environment? Of course. But I also want to make sure that what we're doing is actually saving the environment, because when you take money and you don't actually reduce any of the emissions, you haven't saved the environment, but you've also just taken money from everybody. So it's kind of like, hey,
that's
guys,
what's
if
happening.
You give me, yeah, if you give me all that money, then I'll make sure that the gas emissions don't hurt the environment. But if everyone just still uses the same amount of emissions, and then we just still have to pay the money, I don't see how this is going to benefit. But one
it's
thing
supposed to be
sure
a deterrent, right?
Is the carbon tax credits, carbon credits.
Yeah.
And those are again, another big bunch of BS, because right now in the world, there are no carbon credits. All the big corporations bought them all up. Because in order to get carbon credits, you have to have like a forest and, you know, whatever to be able to actually, you know, sell and
or
say,
produce
look,
EVs.
Those trees that we built for you are because you are polluting the earth. And so the carbon credits are all sold out. There's none left right now. I have a client who sells them. But what they're doing is they're selling the future rights to carbon credits.
Futures market.
So they're saying, look,
oh,
we haven't really
next
discussed the land acquisition yet from the farmers in Cambodia. If you pay me $10 million, Walmart, all right, what I'm going to do is when I do get that contract, all right, and those carbon credits, which today would be like $50 million, okay, I'm going to sell it to you for $20, all right, if I get it. If I don't, then I'll give you back, you know, half of your money.
Right.
And then in 10 years, hopefully I've got enough trees to build where those carbon credits will be yours. And you'll need them because this program is still going to exist. And Walmart's like, geez, guys, what do? If we don't buy these carbon credits, the last time we didn't buy those carbon credits, we regretted it. We had to pay three times what these guys are offering. If we get them for $20 million, this is going to be a great deal. Imagine in 10 years, it could be $100 billion. What do? And these big corporations have the money. So they drop down the money and they buy future carbon credits.
Future carbon credits.
Scam.
But hold on, isn't there supposed to be a rebate too? Like I get, when I say something online about this, everybody goes, you're an idiot. You're going to get more back in rebates. And I'm like,
well, that's what Trudeau's been saying.
But why the fuck are you taking my money and then giving it back to me? Like, just let me keep it. Fuck off. What are you doing? What's the point of that?
The Canada carbon rebate returns fuel charge proceeds to Canadians through direct deposit or check every 3 months. Ensuring
what does that mean?
Most households get more money back, with lower income households benefiting the most.
The fuck does that even mean? How much money am I getting, TK?
The Canada carbon rebate.
For doing what? So for doing what? For freezing to death in the winter, I get a rebate because I saved? I reduced my bill? Why do I get a rebate? And how much is the rebate?
So what happens is $745 for a family of four in Ontario works out to $373 for a single adult. Each child is entitled to $93. So yeah, you're getting...
For a year? For a year. Okay. So I'm spending right now, like between all the additional taxes and all these bullshit charges and distribution and delivery charges and everything, it's like, fuck that. I'm going to go reconnect my fireplace and disconnect the gas and disconnect the furnace and go get an electric furnace or something like that. I'll go burn coal in the backyard.
I was at a house yesterday that had a wood burning fireplace in the garage. I thought that was really cool.
It's really cool. It's even cooler when you got one of those wood burning ovens in the backyard. Just, you know, have people
make
over and make a pizza.
Yeah.
Right. But then again, in Canada now, you get taxed for having a pizza oven that's wood burning. Remember we talked about that a few months ago? No. No. Yeah, that's like some other new thing. So it's like you can't have a wood burning oven.
Oh, that's part of the carbon tax.
The place, I guess. I don't know. It gives off too much carbon when you burn wood. So what are we supposed to do?
I think
are we supposed to just
very,
rub our hands together and like?
I think
make
it's
heat?
Very obvious that you know, they've looked into this. They've got all the data to support it. That we can't survive. The energy demands that we have cannot survive without, you know, coal and other, you know, carbon creating fuel resources. You know, like there is no way for us to be able to have the amount of power and energy, and especially since we're only getting more and more technology and developing more and more places.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, this is what it is. Like, we got to just accept it. I'm not saying burn the place down, but, you know, like, we got to just be able to say to ourselves, like, hey, you know what, maybe this is just the outcome of the earth. And that is that we need to just be able to use the energy that we need to. I love nuclear energy. To me, that makes the most amount of sense, you know, and that people are scared of nuclear. Nobody wants it in their backyard. But at the end of the day, like, it seems like that's going to be what the future is. In my mind, we should all just have a little mini nuclear reactor at home, you know. That's going to be how we, you know, get through our day, you know, because that's what else is going to be something that's going to be able to be that, you know, sustainable. But, you know, maybe I don't understand nuclear science enough, but to me, that's what would make the most amount of sense, or at
I
least
have safer ones to have in your house that are like basically free energy that is like not going to explode and kill everybody within a certain radius. But
yeah, that one, I've had a choice, right? Between the one that explodes and kills everyone and the other one that's safer. Right? I picked the safer one.
And this is why you should be running for office, because you make sense with your decisions, right?
Like,
I think we could really get you backed for office next time around.
I think so,
like,
too. Guys,
I think
bring
we can get you on the ballot
to
now,
you.
Right? Yeah. We are going to run on the platform that
at least I'm willing to speak freely.
Everybody gets for now. Wait until Bill whatever the hell comes into place and you say something like that and they go, oh, this guy's onto something. We better fucking kill this right now. Let's get rid of these guys. Okay, TK, other big news this week, since, you know, you're the one in the country and I'm on vacation. This is what I heard is going on over there.
Talk to me.
The immigration is like considerably down with, I guess, students from India and NPRs, I think non-permanent resident. Is that what that means? Yeah. So NPRs, like, their targets are down. And plus, all of them are going, we don't even want to fucking go there anymore because it really sucks. Right. And we're getting completely taken advantage of over there. And fuck this. Right. We're out. We're going somewhere else. Like, Dubai, because it's way better for people over there, right? But people are realizing that this isn't the best place to come. And so people online are saying, this is major news. Like, this is a major news story because you don't understand what a difference this is going to make, right? Are you reading the article now?
Yeah. So I want to know the numbers. So what they're saying is they're reducing it from 6.2 down to 5%, which is the share of temporary residents of the population. But they don't actually give the number. And so what it means is, you know, maybe they still bring in the exact same amount of temporary residents, right? And that they just create more opportunities for permanent residency, right? So at the end of the day, they want people, because what it is the issues that they've got is they've got people who come here and then leave. And I'm like, well, what the heck, man? We gave you a chance to come here and then, you know, you worked, you drove Uber for 3 years and then you left. What did you do for us? They want people to start a life, to build a business, to start a family. They want that type of stimulation.
But you need to make it so people want to stay and build a family here. You can't make it so that they have to drive Uber the whole time, right? In their spare time after studying and going to school. You got all these guys right now that are complaining that they're being failed in their courses. And they're like, I paid 60 grand for this thing. You can't fail me. And the school's like, well, I mean, you fail.
You didn't show up. You're driving Uber all day long.
Well, I mean,
why did you even sign up for this course at John Rhythm's Academy for those inclined to use
for drummers? Right. But this is the thing. And you see videos on all the social media platforms of people saying, like, come here and we'll give you a loan and we'll do this for you and we'll bring you in and we'll give you a fee and you'll make money by coming here and we'll give you a job and everything will be beautiful. You'll have a bed.
Sounds like a realtor.
Well, it probably is a real or
right.
was
that guy's
a realtor.
Got a real, he's got a real estate license too.
He's connected with a realtor for sure.
Referrals.
On the chain, right? Yeah. Mortgage broker, realtor. But this is what's happening, and so people think that they're coming to something good, and then they get here and they're like, I can't do this. This doesn't work. This isn't what I was promised. And I don't know what happens next because they're here. Like, how they can't possibly have money to go back. The plan was to build a real estate empire.
But this is the thing that people don't understand. I mean, I was talking to somebody from Iran, and he was telling me about the revolution back in 1979 and how, you know, only the richest people left, you know, and that the richest people had properties all over the world. Engineers. And then in the 80s, they're if you had money, Toronto. Then, you know, you got, you know, you're able to leave a little bit earlier. And as time went on, more and more people were leaving and stuff like that too. So I know that a lot of the people that we're seeing come here were like, oh man, they're very like, you know, down on their luck or whatever like that. But the ones that I talk to, at least, and we got my sample pool of people is completely distorted. So everybody knows that. But yeah, these aren't the poorest of the poor people coming from the countries that they're coming from. They own land, their family owns properties, they have, you know, long, you know, standing connections through different types of, you know, maybe politics or government sort of agencies, you know, maybe a business, that kind of stuff.
Maybe a cartel. Whatever
it is, but the people have those type of connections. So when you say like, well, they can't just go back, like a lot of them can.
They can.
A lot of them have an option to go back. They choose to be here. They want to be here. And that, you know, they've got maybe skill sets, education, whatever it is that they're going to try to use and to prosper from here because the opportunities there aren't as good.
You know, that's not who's coming in now. It's not the engineers.
What do you mean it's not the engineers? The only people I'm talking to are the engineers.
That have come in recently?
Yeah, the people who are coming in recently are the ones who have got a lot of, under the federal skilled workers programs, they've got a lot of education. You're talking about the student visa people.
Well, that's
you're not talking
some
about
of them.
Permanent residents. You're talking about people who are temporary
refugees
who are coming under student visas and stuff like that. Yeah, obviously those people
more of them,
aren't engineers yet.
No.
There's a ton of them.
Like way more than the
well, they're going to reduce the share from 6.2 down to 5%.
Well, and so what matters is like, where do they live and where are they going to live? Even if we chop it by the amounts that people are worried about, if they actually chop it, does that change the strain? Because if you bring in 500,000 less people, we've said it before, you're still bringing in over 500,000 people, right?
So I'm selling a property right now. So I sold it conditional this week. And in this house is a 3-bedroom bungalow. So a 3-bedroom apartment. In the basement, a 2-bedroom apartment with another bachelor apartment. In total, you have
17 units?
7 people living in that house. Wow. India and Iran. Yeah.
What?
So,
Iran?
Indian tenants and Iranian.
Oh, I see.
So it means
see,
that
see.
You have
here.
Seven, yeah, living in this house. You got 7 people living in that one house where
that's
maybe,
great.
You know, a Canadian family might be 4.
Yeah.
All right. So they got a place to live.
Or 2.
They're renting a room. They're happy. Or yeah, exactly. If they're boomers.
7. Okay. Is
they got
3
of those and they're only using one of them.
7 might be comfortable still if you're using the basement and you have a decent amount
of space. I know
there's more,
but I'm just giving you my own examples.
No, but when it's like 20.
Okay. That's rare. 15. I'm telling you right now that 7 people in one house is out there all over the place to be able to accommodate what it is. I was talking to someone yesterday. I've mentioned this before. Last night, somebody was mentioning how they, when they came to Canada, and they lived with their aunt, and their aunt had 4 children, and they, with their 4, like they had 3 brothers and sisters as well, and their parents all moved into the same house. This is what immigrants do. And that was like in the 60s. This is what immigrants do.
They do it. And what happens is they come here and they do it and they displace the people that are unwilling to do it. Right.
Okay.
They displace the locals.
We're all like caught up in this whole, like, this is some new era of immigration.
No, it's the same shit.
It's the same thing. My dad had there was 8 boys. They had their parents. They had the grandma. They had, they rented out the living room to another family and the basement was unfinished in a 3-bedroom bungalow.
Hold on, but there's a big difference. Hold on. What? This is very important. And I've mentioned it every time we have the same fucking discussion. Back then, in 3 years, you saved enough for a 50% down payment on the house, okay? 3 years. If you didn't even work hard, it was 3 years. If you were a fucking baller and you were working your balls off, maybe in a year you could come up with 50% down payment.
Let's do some math. 50% down payment. Okay. Maybe that's true.
25 grand.
Whatever it is. Right now you need a 20% down payment for the average home, which is $200,000.
Is this insured? You got to have the insured shit.
No, 20% down.
Over leverage. That's over leverage.
You can do 5% down insured, but 20% is conventional.
Oh, that's conventional?
20% and I'm going to use $1 million. I'm going to use $1 million because that's the average home. But even though you wouldn't buy that home, you'd buy a $600,000.
You can't.
I made an offer this morning for a $600,000 two-bedroom stacked townhouse on a property. And it's a great house for someone to live in. But we won't even use that
lovely.
One.
Lovely. Yeah, that's
that,
great.
That makes it too easy. We'll do $1 million. So you need to save 200
grand. I like having the word stacked in my housing.
Okay. You need to think about this. So now if you live in a home with your family, you have no expenses.
Stacked home?
You have no expenses. You and your brothers and sisters are all living in a home with your family. You know, you got a good job. You're able to, you know, save some money. You don't have to pay any of your bills. Your mom's cooking you food all day long. You take the bus.
Yeah.
Right?
How much do you make? Where do you work?
Okay, again. So you don't make 100 grand like all the people I know. Let's say you make 70,000.
What? Like living with your parents, just starting out, you're making 70 grand right off the bat? Okay. Yeah. 70 grand.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now, and let's say that.
What are you doing for this 70 grand?
You're an IT guy.
IT you're good at computers. Guys, you're fresh IT. Out of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's the common man.
You're able to save $25,000 a year.
One year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Good. So now you got four brothers and sisters.
Oh. I would love to live with my brothers and sisters forever.
Okay. Well, that's what my dad did. Yeah. My dad and his brothers did.
Both of them?
So each Were one you of you can save $25,000 a year. Yeah. Now, after 2 years, you got $200,000. You guys can go buy a house, 20% down. You're going to use your incomes, all four of them. It won't be more than 4.5 times, even though that's not a thing. It's just basic on the qualifying rate. You can now go and buy $1 million home.
One of the partners is not like none of the partners have alcohol issues or mental issues or anything that I have to worry about down the road. Wives,
money
that are bitches,
savings,
husbands.
The wives are coming with them. Okay. They could buy $1 million house in
husbands
in,
with gambling Whippy. Problems.
That's going to be more than enough space for everybody.
This is
there you go. Canadian
lining
dream.
Up to be great. Yeah.
Canadian dream. Okay.
This is the problem.
All I'm trying to say is that it's if you build. What is it? Come on. Spiritual Uber driver. I need to channel my spiritual Uber driver. Hold on. The environment around you is only as good as the one that you create for yourself. Maybe that's a little bit better.
Listen, okay? I put
that's
out,
what it is, Daryl. If you sit around all day going, I can't afford a house. I'm never going to buy. I can't save money. The prices are too high. Why did my parents have a better opportunity than I did? Guess what? You're right. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. But if you're like,
this is the thing.
What is my opportunity here? What do I need to do to save money? How am I going to get into my first home? How am I going to make this work? What type of home can I afford? How am I going to save money? What do I need to cut back on my expenses? Guess what you're going to do, Daryl? You're going
to
buy a house. I guarantee it. I'm 100% sure.
Pool of resources.
In the market, not in the comments saying, I'm never going to buy and it's never going to work out for me and that I make $35,000 a year. Okay. If you make $35,000 a year, you're not buying in Toronto.
This is it. I put out a tweet today or a post on X or whatever the fuck it's called now. And I said, guys, wake up. Houses in Toronto, homes in Toronto are never going to be affordable ever. That's what other provinces are for, right? Yes. And other cities are for.
And if you make 35 grand here, you can also make that money somewhere else.
That's right.
Get married or find a partner, depending on your preference. Yeah. You can go and buy a home together in another province. Saskatchewan is great.
Or even in Ontario in a place that has no water or electricity
in those places. Like Thunder Bay is not too bad.
No. And we keep coming back to this same thing is that part of the problem is that people just want what they don't want to work hard enough for. And they want to sit on TikTok and Twitter and bitch all day and actually not do the work. And although I complain and I spend lots of time on social media, what people may not realize is that I actually get a ton of shit done in a day because I'm like a vampire and I don't sleep at all. Right.
I don't sleep.
And I get a
lot
of stuff
done. Go to
bed
later
than
me and wake up earlier than me.
Well, most people, because it's not normal. And I'll probably have a heart attack soon, but that's a whole other story, right?
So I had a client who called me. This is a sad story.
Oh, no. This is a good redirect. Yeah.
I'm wondering if I can say this story or not, but I guess I'm going to say it.
You're going to have to say something.
I know. I called a client.
This is not getting edited.
I called a client and they were, I haven't talked to them for a while, right? I met them. They weren't able to do what they wanted to do. Things weren't lining up. So I was just calling in to check in and say, hey, how are you?
Client or contact?
It's somebody who really will want
to use my
services.
Did you make any money from them?
No, it's somebody who, when the time comes, they're going to want to use my services because I was good to them when they needed me. But at that time, it wasn't, they didn't need any of my services.
Loyal people exist.
So I'm checking in with them to say, hey, how are you? What's going on?
Yeah.
And this person says to me, my spouse passed away. I'm sorry to hear that. I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. It's sad. And send my condolences to the kids and all that kind of stuff. And they said, well, I found out 3 weeks after they passed away that the property taxes haven't been paid in 5 years. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, that's also something that I'm, you know, sending my condolences for you and hope you get it all stretched out. They said, well, then we also found out why. It was because my spouse was gambling online.
Oh, no, it's not Shohei Ohtani's, what's it called? What's it called?
I don't know.
Translator. You don't know what's going on with that? Jesus.
I don't watch Shohei. Okay. Shohei News. But the money was lost, and there was a medical condition that was related to stress, which ended the person's life. And it was because they had, you know, developed that type of addiction and
a little bit of anxiety.
And they lost $100,000 or something like that in total.
When are you going to pay us back, Morty? Morty, where's the money, Morty? When are you going to pay us back?
These type of situations are market conditions are irrelevant. People pass away. I just listed in a state sale this week. It goes on the market next week. People are still out there. I met with another couple that's in a state sale. They're probably not going to get it on the market and for another few months. There's people who need to sell. They're going to sell. There's no
people buying because I feel like the market's moving and people are telling me, what are you, an idiot? Like sales are down and prices are down on condos 20%. And
yeah,
I thought prices went up last month. Didn't prices go up in
January to February? They went up,
we're still in a seller's market technically. Like, is that still a thing? Do we care about seller's market still?
Everything
or
that I'm pricing right and
only when it's
what's
good
necessary, I'm selling.
Right.
So if it's priced high, you know, people are going to look at it and go, you're crazy. I don't want it.
But where are we at versus peak? Are we close? Are
we
back?
No, way below. No way.
Really? Because I look at the average prices across the board.
Yeah, peak is.
Oh, peak.
I don't think we're getting back to peak for 10 years.
Not back to peak for 10 years, says TK. Okay.
Yeah.
But
I think it's
going to
take a long
bottom?
Time. Sorry, 10 years from peak. So I think, you know, 2032. It'll take a while. I think we're going to have some really slow growth. I still think that there's still pain in the market. I still see a lot of people. I'm dealing with them. So I'm like, you need to sell. You're not going to wait for a better price. You're in trouble here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so these type of situations are happening more and more. And so those type of people will sell and they'll have to get whatever price they can. Buyers, let's talk about interest rates. Everybody's saying right now, interest rates are going down and the market's going to get better. Let's just understand how that works. The Bank of Canada's overnight rate gets decreased 3 times this year by 25 basis points. Fantastic. Prime rate comes down. Everyone says, oh, hoorah. My variable rate mortgage now gets affected from Scotia. My payment changes. If not, my interest proportion changes. Super. But the bond market is still in control of where fixed rates are going to be. And the bond market has been already...
bond market gets so much credit.
The bond market's
everybody.
Already been saying we expect there to be... interest rate decreases, rate cuts. So it means that we're already at where the bond market thinks rates should be, which is whatever it is, 5.5%, whatever you can get. Right. Whoa. So the qualifying rate is going to be 2% above that, which means that's what buyers' affordability is. That's what they can qualify with. And therefore, nothing changes. There is no three rate cuts this year. Doesn't change buyers' affordability. It might put some optimism in the market, but when they go to the bank to say, excuse me, I'd like to know 3 cups of optimism. How much more money are you going to give me? You know, because I really feel like this is a good investment and that I really feel like the price is going to go up. So, you know, can you raise my, you know, debt service ratios up a little bit? And the bank's going to say, all right, so you make 60 grand a year and you got a car payment and he's got 3 cups of optimism and they're not going to give you any credit for that optimism. Which means that you don't qualify for any more than you did 3-6 months ago or today. So how are buyers going to pay more money for houses? They can't qualify for the houses they're trying to buy right now. And if more sellers are selling because they need to sell, how does this equate to prices going up later this year?
I think what we've learned, and I could be wrong, sentiment is more important than interest rates and where they're at. Now, the direction of interest rates has a big impact on sentiment. And if you are around real estate as much as we are, you know that there's a lot of money waiting for something, right? And I don't know if we're at the bottom and they're trying to time a bottom. We do see things transacting, like, not a lot, but things are still transacting. When you have 8 months of pauses and then three cuts in a row, what is the sentiment going to be like?
Yeehaw, let's go. Let's get back in. I'm going to go to the bank and then the bank's going to tell me. And then I'm going to go and buy an investment property. And the numbers on my monthly performer is going to show me. Telling you, Daryl, that craze was there. It was a perfect storm of stupidity, and that people were doing things with money that they should have never done before. And that you don't hope I'm right, because it'll affect your projects.
Well, I know that, but actually, I don't think it will affect my projects. But I think it will. Like, I can't see a scenario where all these people don't go crazy again. And I hope I'm wrong, right? Because it's not healthy that happens.
Yeah.
Right. I think really that a cut will start a frenzy with the dummies again. Right. Because even if the smart money is still waiting
dummies
around,
can't get money, Daryl. The dummies had access to money.
Some
that they
dummies
didn't know
get
about.
Money, man.
No, I'm telling the scenarios.
I've
are
seen
just,
these guys. They fucking go bankrupt, and all of a sudden they're raising money again, and they found a new group of suckers, and they keep going. And if they hit the right wave, those guys look like geniuses for a while until things crumble apart, and even geniuses can look like idiots, right? Mm-hmm. But I could be totally friggin' wrong. I also see a scenario where we have like this slow decline in prices, like a steady kind of tail off for years. And then
then it'll come back
again.
Then we'll be all
hyped
up again.
It's
going to
come back. Yeah. And so what's the trigger that makes it actually come back again? Because if inflation is seemingly coming down, or at least people are believing that it is, right? The people that actually don't pay attention, which is most people, right?
2.8%.
Oh, really? The chicken is $35 a piece, and in inflation
went
is
down.
This is great. I'll vote for Trudeau, right? Mm-hmm. So I see both scenarios. I just feel, from all of the craziness I've seen in Toronto in the past, okay, over my experience, and they'll add to it that it's not the old money recycling now. It's got all this new money is coming in, right? That's willing to pool 7-8 people together to do stuff, right? I don't see a scenario where there isn't more demand than the supply, and the supply is never catching up no matter how slow it gets. I just don't see a scenario. But I mean, you can make a lot of money in like slow down for 5 years too. And so can investors that are using performas and their brains, where they've given themselves these buffers of maybe somebody not paying for a while, right? Maybe not a year or a year and a half, but 6 months might be like not stupid every couple of years or 3 years to plan. Like, this is not going to be occupied 98% all the time.
Yeah. No realtor's ever going to.
What's 2% vacancy anyways?
Yeah. And that screws up the performa. Big time.
But what is 2% or 4% vacant? Like, it's not even a month. What is it? 3 days you're going to be vacant for? Right? Like 8 days? Like, what are people thinking? Yeah, right? And this is the problem, is the dummies have money from somewhere. And they pool it together and they make big dummy plays. And sometimes they look like geniuses because the market went the right way, or they actually got a good deal, or somebody in the group actually knew what the hell they were doing and they made like more value there. They created value somehow.
Yeah.
That's what I foresee. But part of the picture that I see is all of these multiplexes and all these smaller guys coming online and wanting to do this, right? And the city pushing all of this small stuff. And a lot of those guys are going to get killed. They're not going to make any money, but they're going to generate stuff. And other people are going to get jobs from that stuff, I think. But I'm an idiot. I made the worst possible call in 2007, 2008, 2009, right? I just feel like there's so many people with so much money just flooding in that don't care about what that 5% interest. Like, it's normal. It's lower than the average over the last 40 years that they just come in with these fresh eyes, go, I want that. I can get that. I have a good job at home, and or
need a place to live. They need a place to live.
Look,
everybody's struggling on their expense side, but people have more income than ever before right now. The amount of people who are, you know, their businesses are doing well. Sorry, the rich
side
qualify this. The rich are getting richer.
Richer.
And they have the money to be able to go around and buy whatever the heck they want. And that's the problem, is that it's becoming a tale of, you know, the classes, where the people who've got the money are going and doing the things they want to do and enjoying life and jacking up the prices for everyone else. Whereas the people who are hardworking, blue collar, whatever, you know, didn't come from money, their family doesn't have money, whatever it is, they're struggling and they're saying, hey, that's not fair. I went to school with that guy, you know, we had the same, you know, we crossed paths, but because his parents and his job and whatever, he gets to go and live this great life. And it's impossible for me to do it.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. And that's something that we want to change, because we don't remember Canada being like that. But there are other places in Canada where you can still have that life. It's just, do you want to live in Toronto or not? Because Toronto, to live here, is not easy. And it's a major city. And if you look at major cities in other parts of the world, and I'm not trying to compare us with others, you know, every city's got their own unique, you know, features.
Toronto's not a world-class city.
But as far as the biggest city in every one of those countries and all the major countries, each one of them has one big city. The rules in those big cities are much different than they are in the small cities.
And it's harder to afford a place.
And they
have
crazy rules in some places where, you know, you need certain, you know, you can't even buy in Shanghai without a permit. You know, they're just like, no, I don't care how much money you have. You don't need to own a home here. Other places, they say you can't buy more than one home. You know, other countries, they say, look, you can't buy, you can just buy one home. That's it. You're not allowed to buy any more.
Yeah, or you can't own anything here until you're a citizen.
Exactly.
And that's how you protect your
some places,
your people.
We won't even let you buy unless you were born here.
Right.
We won't even let a foreigner in to buy.
Developers, as much as we want to make a ton of money, the market is realistic too. So if at the right time we would have put these policies in place that actually protect the local population from prices running out of control, they'd still be going up. Maybe not as crazy as they did, but they'd still be going up. And if we actually planned things out properly and we built the infrastructure first and we planned, okay, you know what? We need to make sure that there's 100,000 new boxes somewhere, because we're bringing in 150,000 humans and they need to go somewhere. Like, these are things that the prices can still go up. People can still make a lot of money. Everybody can be happy, and the prices don't have to go up 10% a year. Right? Or 8% a month, or we've seen some crazy runs, right? I think the system can work one day, but if we're waiting for like affordable housing to save us, have you seen the videos of Chrystia Freeland going out to BC and the building that they're considering affordable? You get like a one bedroom with 600 square feet or 450 square feet or something stupid for $2,600, and it's considered affordable. Like, well done, everybody.
Here's our affordable housing.
But look, I'm dealing with it on my project where I have rental replacement, and I have to replace it at they have some metric based on the average of the whole city, and it's a factor of more than the average for the replacement, which I mean, I'm thankful for, because it doesn't kill the performa as much as it could kill the performa if it was really affordable. So who is this shit affordable to? Yeah. It's never going to be affordable here. Yeah. If you want, unless you can afford it, which means you have to either be
affordable
rich
so
from somewhere. But that's the thing. You have affordable means you can buy it and, you know, not go bankrupt because you did it. Yeah. Right? Or not have your life be worse because you did it. Yeah. I think should be the metric of whether you can afford it. Yeah. Right? But sometimes you can afford something and then a couple of years later you can't.
They should base affordability on like a certain job. They should be like, all right, if your job is, you know, if you and your spouse both work minimum wage, right? Can you afford to rent a 3-bedroom apartment? Boom. That's your at 30% debt service
minimum
ratio.
Wage.
There's your rental apartment. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a, I don't want to say
one bedroom for one,
they make a lot of money. So let's say a, give me a generic job.
Yeah. Warehouse worker.
Yeah.
Is that not generic?
I want a government one, actually.
Oh, a government one. How about city planner?
City planner. Okay. If you're a city planner, they probably make like teacher's money.
They probably make pretty good money.
This is a tough one. All right. If you are working.
What about a garbage collector?
If you collect garbage for the city, which is a great job, they make good money. If you collect garbage for the city, right? Your wage times two, because it means that you and your spouse, right? What type of home can you guys afford as far as a 3-bedroom home? That becomes now what the affordable rate is. So then that way the incomes are tied to the affordability for the metric that they use.
How about like you just go somewhere that you can afford? And I'm sorry, okay? Damn. I'm sorry. We're going to need nurses that make more money here so they can afford to live here. They'll be the best nurses, okay?
Maybe a man nurse should just get married to a woman doctor and then he can afford to live in the city.
Like, figure it out, everybody. So simple. Figure it out somehow.
So do you know
I don't
what?
Know
do
how
you
this
know what,
works,
Daryl?
TK. And this is why I'm not in charge.
And I can tell you one thing, that today during this episode, we did not figure anything out.
I don't think we're really trying anymore, TK. It really feels like we try and move backwards every week, every time that
we just
have
to talk
a conversation.
To each other. That's all it is. But anyways, people are listening. We appreciate you guys.
Watching.
The show has come to an end. Let us know in the comments what you want to hear from us next. Let us know who you want to see on the show. We're going to reply to every comment, drop a comment, and we appreciate you guys. So
do you want to come on the show
every week? Yeah. If you want to come on the show, we can book you sometime in 2025.
Sometime in July right now. We have so many great guests coming too. So anybody that's actually still watching, we have some real gems for you guys coming up.
Today the guest was me. I'll be the guest today.
TK was a great guest today. Our guest forgot and... some things are more important than others. Typical realtor move.
Me and you got some good chemistry today.
That was so great, TK. I'm so glad that I wasn't out at the pool enjoying the sun.
Your vacation.
My vacation is complete.
Okay. Bye.